The year was 2012, and within the walls of Tokopedia's bustling office, whispers of a new challenger began to circulate. Lazada, they called it. An intriguing name, seemingly borrowed from the Spanish word for bow or knot, yet it was the brainchild of a German team.
And initially, Tokopedia's team didn't see Lazada as a contender for the Indonesian e-commerce crown. But upon closer inspection, Lazada unveiled its grand vision, positioning itself as a pan-Southeast Asian marketplace. It offered an impressive but ambitious model, a single app through which the entirety of Southeast Asia could shop. Admirable, yes, but it also hinted that Lazada might struggle with tailoring its services specifically for Indonesia.
So, despite the buzz, life at Tokopedia's office went on as usual, the team seemingly unfazed by the potential threat on the horizon. However, underestimating Lazada might have been premature.
That's right, because they had an audacious plan up their sleeve. Unlike most e-commerce platforms that simply partnered with a variety of logistics services to spread their reach, Lazada dared to dream bigger, taking inspiration from Amazon's playbook. They set their sights on constructing their own logistics network.
Ordinarily, the cost of such an endeavor would be suicidal for any business in Indonesia. And it was a huge gamble, even for Lazada, which had a hefty $250 million of funding behind it.
Well, do or die, it would be one for the history books.
At first, Tokopedia seemed to be outpacing its competitors.
Yeah, but as Lazada's warehouses began to dot Jakarta's landscape, the balance shifted. Lazada's ability to handle 50% of their deliveries in-house propelled them forward, saturating the market with unprecedented efficiency.
That's true. Mid-decade, a harsh truth settled over William Tanuwijaya. Tokopedia was no longer in the lead. He found himself grappling with disbelief.
We have lost our lead. How did everything come to this?
But as the weight of this realization began to press down, a sliver of hope pierced through the gloom. Lazada's meteoric rise was not without its pitfalls. The very speed that had catapulted them forward was now their Achilles heel. Despite sophisticated logistics, they couldn't keep up with their own growth. Warehouses flagged stock shortages, and delivery timelines started slipping, hinting at a chance for Tokopedia to regain its footing. A smile crossed William's face as he pondered this turnaround.
Looks like there's hope for us after all. Maybe we couldn't...
Oh, wait up! News just came in. Alibaba, the behemoth of global e-commerce, had just taken a majority stake in Lazada. With Alibaba's entry, not only did Lazada gain a powerful ally, but it also inherited a wealth of logistical prowess.
Should Alibaba overcome Lazada's logistical hurdles, their advance wouldn't just be significant. They'd be set to transform the entire competitive landscape. Such a shift could potentially relegate Tokopedia, a pioneer in the industry, to the sidelines. Perhaps forever. From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 4 of a 5-part series, My Nakama.
In Indonesia, the term "my nakama" is unusual. Borrowed from Japanese, nakama translates to comrade or crewmate, a term William Tanuwijaya affectionately uses to refer to his Tokopedia team. It is widely believed that William's fondness for the term nakama was inspired by his favorite anime, One Piece, where characters navigate the high seas in search of adventure. Drawing parallels, William saw himself and his team as pirates venturing into the vast and treacherous waters of e-commerce.
Waters that turned particularly perilous with Alibaba's entry, a giant known as the eBay killer in China. And against the odds, Tokopedia had achieved something remarkable. Coming from a relatively modest background, William managed to rally significant investor support. The pivotal moment came in 2014, during the event famously dubbed the Night of the Three Proposals, where Tokopedia secured a staggering $100 million from heavyweight investors SoftBank and Sequoia Capital, catapulting them ahead of local competitors.
However, the mid-decade emergence of Lazada, armed with $250 million to conquer Southeast Asia, posed an unprecedented challenge, overshadowing Tokopedia. But William, unfazed, saw no reason to concede. His confidence in Tokopedia's deep understanding of the Indonesian market and its unique needs was unshaken. He knew that mastering swift distribution was essential.
And this was a goal that, in time, could naturally align Tokopedia with Gojek, transforming the landscape of same-day delivery in Indonesia, all without a fleet of their own.
For now, though, Gojek's journey had just begun. Having launched its app on January 15, 2015, it needed space to flourish before capturing Tokopedia's attention.
But Gojek was quickly outpacing expectations, growing fourfold faster than predicted by its backers. Considering this rapid progress, this union of two highly localized technologies might come sooner than we think. After Gojek's resounding launch, it quickly became the number one free app on iOS in Indonesia. An astonishing achievement given that 95% of Indonesian users are on Android.
But this explosive growth faced limitations, as only 1 in 5 Indonesians owned smartphones, capping Gojek's potential driver and user base.
Undeterred and equipped with fresh investor capital, Gojek embarked on an ambitious campaign, securing vast stadiums across Jakarta for a grand campaign to provide drivers with subsidized smartphones.
That was brilliant! This move significantly boosted the number of drivers on the platform and simultaneously drew in a larger user base, since finding a ride became more convenient.
That's right. Now Gojek's growth was uncapped and exploding. To enhance branding and encourage more drivers to join, Gojek distributed green helmets and jackets to those who signed up. This strategy proved beneficial on multiple fronts. Drivers received valuable practical gear at low cost, and Gojek enjoyed widespread, cost-effective advertising.
However, a new challenge soon emerged. Many Gojek drivers struggled with the technology, particularly when it came to accessing their digital earnings. The system's complexity left some drivers hesitant, questioning the use of additional income that remains inaccessible.
To address this, Gojek took a hands-on approach, setting up physical locations equipped with cash vaults to facilitate direct withdrawals for drivers. Despite initial long lines, the real breakthrough came when Gojek integrated their payment system with a country's ATM network, simplifying money access for drivers.
For a while, Gojek seemed unstoppable, largely due to a key distinction between Indonesia and America in the taxi industry.
In the US, the taxi sector was well established and relatively structured. Prices were standardized across a system that had been optimized over decades, which some believe largely benefited the corporations that dominated the market.
When Uber entered the scene, it upended this established order embodying Mark Zuckerberg's mantra to move fast and break things. This approach translated into a near-reckless challenge to the status quo, often sidestepping existing regulations and norms in a bid to outpace legislative scrutiny.
Indonesia's ride-hailing landscape, in contrast, was disorganized. Gojek's emergence aimed not just to participate, but to reform and formalize this chaotic industry, positioning the company as a catalyst for positive change. However, as Gojek continued expanding, they began to encroach into the underbelly of Indonesia's ride-hailing industry.
This may come as a surprise to many, but Jakarta in the mid-2010s ranked quite low on the global safety scale, according to the Economist Safe Cities Index. In fact, it ranked even lower than Tehran, Iran. Several neighborhoods with violence to match the most dangerous cities in the U.S. were tightly controlled by gangs.
These savvy criminals began marking territories as their own, significantly impacting Gojek drivers. Those daring to venture into or operate within these areas had to navigate carefully to avoid potential dangers.
It's widely believed that these gangs primarily profited from extorting local businesses, a revenue stream Gojek had inadvertently threatened as it grew. As the mafia hustled to safeguard their domains, a realization struck them. The distinctive green helmets and jackets worn by Gojek drivers stood out as prime targets for making a statement. Recognizing this, they zeroed in on these symbols of Gojek's presence to assert their control and send a chilling message. From hurling bricks, to flinging knives, to brandishing machetes, the violence escalated. The message was unmistakable. Venturing into these territories with Gojek came with severe consequences.
This posed a critical dilemma for Gojek. How to respond to such overt threats? Opinions within Gojek diverged. One faction viewed Gojek drivers as independent contractors who should navigate these challenges on their own. They believed that by accelerating expansion and continuing to disrupt, the issue might resolve itself.
But another perspective considered a more proactive approach, moving fast not just to break things, but to fix things. In a bold strategy, Gojek established a private security division, equipping drivers with an emergency contact number. This hotline promised rapid response within 5 to 10 minutes to de-escalate confrontations.
This bold initiative took the mafia by surprise, effectively turning the tables in areas they once dominated. The assurance of safety drew both users and drivers to Gojek in droves, gradually eroding the mafia's influence. Over time, the urban mafias that once terrorized these areas have largely disbanded, and Gojek's security force was no longer necessary, marking Gojek's transition from an innovative startup to a new standard in urban mobility.
As 2015 unfolded, Gojek's ambition saw it branching into various ventures beyond security services and financial solutions, fueling its meteoric rise. Yet, this aggressive expansion caught the eye of well-funded rivals who saw an opportunity in Gojek's groundwork. One competitor's executive confidently declared,
"Let Gojek clean the streets. We'll steal their drivers."
Immediately, the battle for drivers escalated into a full-blown war on incentives. Gojek quickly learned that despite their efforts in branding and additional services, loyalty in the ride-hailing industry was fleeting. Drivers could switch allegiances as easily as they had switched from the mafia's control to Gojek, drawn by the more attractive incentives offered by Uber and Grab. And as 2015 drew to a close, a profound understanding dawned on Nadeem Makarim. The true conflict extended far beyond delivering superior service. It was a direct assault on Gojek's funding.
But the horizon held even greater challenges. By April 2016, Alibaba had asserted dominance over Lazada, seizing control of the e-commerce titan that led the Indonesian market. To Nadim, this wasn't merely an expansion. It was a potential herald for Didi Chuxing's entry into Indonesia. Didi, enjoying Alibaba's backing and notorious for dethroning Uber in China, posed a formidable threat. With Alibaba's footprint expanding in Indonesia, the possibility of its subsidiaries following suit loomed large. Nadim had to face the uncomfortable truth. The skirmish over ride-hailing was just the surface level of a deeper conflict. A comprehensive struggle for dominance in Indonesia's technological sphere.
Back at Tokopedia's office, the competitive analysis revealed troubling signs. The e-commerce battlefield was rapidly changing and not in Tokopedia's favor. New entrants, buoyed by Japanese investments, intensified the competition.
Rakuten, dubbed the Amazon of Japan, solidified its presence by fully embracing its Indonesian venture in 2013, launching Belanja to cater to the appetite for high-quality Japanese goods.
eBay, recalibrating after its challenges in China, targeted the Indonesian market with Plaza.com, quickly amassing 2.5 million monthly visitors through strategic partnerships.
Adding to the pressure, established classified ad platforms like Tokobagus and Kaskus continued to flourish. For those unfamiliar with these names, Tokobagus was Indonesia's answer to Craigslist and backed by Naspers, hitting over 1 billion monthly page views. And the latter, Kaskus, followed closely with 600 million, underscoring the fierce competition.
However, no competition was greater than Alibaba's recent acquisition of Lazada, signaling a potential e-commerce empire that could sideline all other platforms. The market buzzed with talk of consolidation, a move that could reshape the competitive landscape.
But William Tanuwijaya remained resolute. Selling Tokopedia was never his aim. His strategy? Resourcefulness and endurance. He believed steadfastly in persevering, convinced that if Tokopedia could weather the storm, they would not only survive, but emerge as a model for their competitors. And following his lead, William's philosophy of work till rivals become idols soon became the anthem for Tokopedia.
To seek further solutions, William looked once again to China for inspiration. It was, after all, no secret that Tokopedia admired Alibaba. Initially, Tokopedia aimed to replicate the success of China's e-commerce model within Indonesia, while tailoring features to align with local preferences. This approach essentially mirrored the strategies of Alibaba, identifying parallels between the two platforms.
But Alibaba's foray into the Indonesian market prompted William to reconsider the strategy. Simply copying Alibaba's moves was futile. With Alibaba now a direct competitor, Tokopedia risked always being a step behind. William realized the need for a strategic pivot towards differentiation. And it wasn't just between Tokopedia and Alibaba. William needed to leverage what uniquely characterized Indonesia itself.
And as William and Tokopedia dug deeper, it became clear that their inability to compete with Alibaba on financial terms might actually be a hidden blessing. Sure, they couldn't invest as much as Alibaba could on warehouses or marketing, but they had an ace up their sleeve, something that was uniquely Indonesian.
And what an ace it was. You see, unlike China's market landscape during Alibaba's rise, which was primarily focused on e-commerce, Indonesia boasted a unique ecosystem component, Gojek, the nation's ride-hailing juggernaut. Identifying this as a potential competitive edge, William sought to explore synergies between Tokopedia and Gojek, facilitated by Sequoia Capital, an investor in both companies. A meeting was arranged between William and Adim Makarem, Gojek's founder.
As William and Adim sat down in a quiet corner of a bustling cafe, the air was thick with anticipation. It was clear that both entrepreneurs had much to discuss, given the current climate of their respective industries. Nadim, likely eager to share his vision, began to explain the core concept behind Gojek.
You see, William, the idea sparked when I noticed how Ojek riders spent most of their time waiting for passengers. It was a glaring inefficiency. Gojek's platform was designed to address this, providing them with consistent work and consequently a higher income.
William, genuinely curious about the operational dynamics, leaned in.
So, they must be quite busy throughout the day, right?
I'll be honest. It's a work in progress. They are definitely busier now, but we've observed significant lull periods, especially in the afternoons when demand for rides noticeably decreases.
Yes, tell me about it. We also have our lull periods, but it's mostly driven by distribution. There's a limit to Indonesia's delivery infrastructure.
In that instant, the air crackled with potential. There was a game-changing decision that was about to unfold before them.
Nadim, I just realized something. What if we could provide the much-needed work to Gojek drivers?
Are you thinking of using Gojek as your delivery fleet? Oh, you are thinking of using Gojek as your delivery fleet.
Exactly. I've seen the Gojek's drivers weave through the terrible traffic. It would be fast, like lightning speed.
Nadim's eyes lit up at the suggestion. Lightning speed, or kilat in Bahasa Indonesia, was a good word.
Go kilat,
he murmured, a smile spreading across his face.
Go kilat made its debut to widespread acclaim, revolutionizing the way ride-hailing drivers could leverage their downtime by delivering e-commerce parcels. This synergy was unprecedented, enabling Tokopedia to offer same-day deliveries.
A boon for customers.
While Gojek riders found new avenues to boost their earnings.
Which meant they were blessed too.
Unlike traditional warehouses, this model offered the flexibility to reach the furthest corners of Jakarta and navigate narrow lanes otherwise unreachable by traditional delivery vehicles. In one campaign, Tokopedia retained its edge.
As 2016 came to a close, the e-commerce scene was rapidly transforming. Many smaller platforms faced consecutive layoffs amidst shrinking funding, a response to recalibrated expectations of Indonesia's market potential. Initially, investors arrived full of optimism, only to confront the reality of substantial infrastructural hurdles. In this challenging environment, only a few dominant players remained, locked in relentless marketing and pricing battles.
Trailing behind Lazada, Tokopedia carved out a distinct niche. While Lazada dominated by ensuring sellers went through rigorous verification, appealing to security-conscious buyers, it posed hurdles for the average Indonesian merchant. Tokopedia offered an alternative, a platform where the entry barrier was virtually non-existent. With just a few clicks, sellers could reach a vast audience. This openness catered to a broader spectrum of products, including secondhand items, making Tokopedia's offerings more affordable and diverse. And despite being at war, each side found patrons that favored their app more so than the other.
By mid-2017, the e-commerce landscape in Indonesia began to shift dramatically. Giants once optimistic about replicating Amazon's model started to retreat from the archipelago. A pivotal challenge was logistics. Navigating Indonesia's sprawling network of 27,000 islands turned out to be a logistical nightmare. Firms resorted to private planes, boats, and even airport warehouses in desperate attempts to streamline distribution. Jakarta's notorious traffic further complicated deliveries, necessitating an intricate web of outlets and storage solutions. The dream of a quick e-commerce conquest faced a harsh reality check. Overcoming Indonesia's infrastructure hurdles was a prerequisite, not an option. This daunting complexity prompted many to exit the stage.
On top of this, the idiosyncrasies of Indonesian consumers, like a penchant for direct messaging purchases, cash on delivery, and smaller transaction sizes, added even more layers of complexity, acting as a minefield for the uninitiated. Those who remained were either too invested to withdraw, or, like Alibaba, had doubled down on their commitment. Through a $1 billion investment, Alibaba escalated its stake in Lazada to 83%, sending ripples across the sector.
Yet amidst the turmoil, Tokopedia was surprisingly calm. Behind closed doors, something extraordinary was unfolding, known only to those within the inner circle. After Alibaba's purchase of Lazada, things started falling apart. A melting pot of employees from Europe, Asia, and now China led to escalating internal tensions, affecting everything from warehouse management to marketing strategies. The integration efforts, particularly the attempt to meld Lazada's systems with Alibaba's, created friction and complexity for sellers, catalyzing unrest within the company.
Within a year, this discontent birthed a formidable competitor, Shopee. Emerging from the ranks of ex-Lazada staff, Shopee's explosive growth began to erode Lazada's market dominance. Alibaba realized that Lazada's opponent had shifted drastically. It wasn't Tokopedia. It was this lookalike that had the fundamentals to wipe them out.
Perhaps now they could collaborate instead, and in doing so, capture a larger slice of the overall Indonesian market. On August 17, 2017, a mere month after bolstering Lazada with significant funding, Alibaba made an unexpected move, a $1 billion US investment into Tokopedia. This investment was a monumental affirmation for William. Months earlier, Tokopedia's offices had resonated with William's rallying cry, "Rivals to Idols," aiming to inspire his team towards greatness. That aspiration materialized in a way he scarcely dared to dream. Alibaba's investment wasn't just financial backing. It was a vote of confidence, acknowledging them for their ability to hold their own in this perilous market.
This partnership transformed Alibaba into what Tokopedia fondly refers to as their nakama, true allies in their journey. The ripple effects were immediate, enriching Tokopedia with invaluable cross-cultural insights directly from Alibaba's heart. William and his team, once distant admirers, were now intimate with the inner workings they had previously only speculated about.
Today, the e-commerce battleground looks markedly different, validating Alibaba's strategic stake in Tokopedia. Shopee and Tokopedia now vie for leadership, occasionally outpacing each other, while Lazada trails, at times capturing just a third of their market shares. And with the e-commerce puzzle nearly solved, Tokopedia eyed the last infrastructure challenge, e-payments.
It's now October 2018. Excitement was in the air at Gojek's office. Their partnership with Tokopedia had evolved into a powerful, lasting synergy, rewarding both parties. With Indonesia rapidly digitizing, fintech became the next battleground. Gojek, bolstered by the acquisition of three fintech companies, was ready to take the lead with its emerging powerhouse, GoPay. Expectations were high. A collaboration with Tokopedia and fintech seemed not just likely, but inevitable, setting the stage for a harmonious fusion of...
An employee bursts in, breathless with news.
Nadim, Tokopedia's teamed up with OVO. OVO? But that's GoPay's rival, backed by Grab, no less.
In the winter of 2018, Tokopedia's alliance with OVO, a popular mobile wallet and rival to GoPay, would spark questions on the enduring partnership between Gojek and Tokopedia. The question lingers heavy in the air. Why?
From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 4 of a 5-part series, My Nakama. Next on Empires, we'll learn that the path to Gojek and Tokopedia becoming GoTo would be anything but easy, and that it's hard to keep your tires clean as you race ahead from the competition. Follow us so you won't miss out on episode 5 of our 5-part series. Go far, go together. Empires is a 1UP Media original, produced and written by Guang Jin, edited by Alex, audio experience by Ethan Sam, additional engineering by Ashley from 1UP Media, and narrated by Luis Cruz and Claire Bernal. International research by Sonia, Kuyet, and Jiamin from 1UP Media. A quick word on our reenactments and dramatizations. While we can't know exactly what they say, think, or feel at the moment, it is all based on research. Thank you for listening.